Okay, you're in Trip and Duff, Yomi Learners. We're here in the first class lounge again in Newark Airport, and I'm going to try to do Duff Talon and Duff 8 to keep up with you. So we're holding now on Duff Gimel on the base. We were in the middle of the sugya of trying to understand how it is that Rabbi Gamliel and Beit Dina were able to be mevatel the takon of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And our first approach was to say that there was a condition that was built in to the original takon that allowed them subsequently to mevatel it. And we then asked that we've got a problem because it actually was also Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, which we learned from Esther Netiot, and to which Rabbi Yitzchak replied that the Halacha only covered Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. The addition of the Takon of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was from Pesach V'Atzeret, and on that addition there was a condition that will allow them to be Mevatalit, and that's where we were up to, which is five lines from the bottom. Continues the Gemara to ask, but there's an additional problem because these are not actually just Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. Actually, I remember now that we did do this already because I remember mentioning two approaches to it. So if they are actual psukim, then the implications are that the Halacha itself had already added to the Pasuk. As we learn, Rabbi Akiva Merin Tzarich Lomer Chorish V'Katzir Shal Shvi'i Yichari Kvar Ne'amar Sat Chalot Yisrael V'Char Mechalot Tizmor. What would be the point of saying the Sheshet Yamim Tavod V'Yom HaShvi'i Tishbot Becharish V'Katzir Tishbot? We actually know already Chorish V'Katzir Av Shvi'is itself, which was said Beferish, and I recall now mentioning to you also the Tosfos, and points out that perhaps that isn't strictly true about Chorish, it certainly is true about Katzira. Therefore, this has got to be a reference to Rabbi Akiva to Chorishel Erev Shvi'i Shenichnas L'Shvi'i V'Katzir Shel Shvi'i Sheyatzeh L'Motzei Shvi'i. So what we're talking about over here is doing things in the sixth year which will benefit the Shemitah year for planting, and also those things which were not produced during Shemitah and which continued to grow, and now we're ready to harvest in the eighth year. We have to give it a dinim of Kedusha Shvi'is, so it's not allowed to be used for business purposes. It has dinim of Bior, and perhaps other halachas according to the Rishonim, which are a function of the dinim of Shvi'is, not central right now to what we're learning here. Rabbi Yishmael, on the other hand, says that that's not the meaning of the pasuk Becharish V'Katzir Tishbot. Rather, what it's telling us is that Macharish V'Shus Avkatzir V'Shus Yotzik Tzira Omer Shehi Mitzvah. So that what we're talking about over here is basically the heter and the demand, actually, to do Ketirat HaOmer, even though it comes out on Shabbos, because the just like there is no such thing as a chorish that itself is a chorish of mitzvah, so too is the kotzer referring to a kotzer which is not shal mitzvah. Mashen kinden Ketirat HaOmer is actually a chiev, therefore it's docha Shabbos. In any event, we've got a problem because it does not seem to be merely halacha; it seems to be psukim. I mean, either this is a problem because there's a contradiction, or it's more of a problem because, according to other Rishonim, because it would seem that there are two different issues, one which may be the Shloshim Yom, and one which may be already based on the Moshe Sinai extension of the original din, in which case we're back to our problem of how it is that we could be Mevatelit, and what exactly was the Takana Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. El Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Ki Gemir Yilchata, L'Mishrei Iyalda, Kroi L'Mesa Sekena. Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, well, actually, the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai was only matir the Esr Netiot, the young trees. Mashenkin, we still need the Pasuk to Aser Shloshim Yom Kodem Rosh Hashanah for the older trees, and on that it was Beit Shammai Beit Hillel that added the Gezerah of Pesach and Atzeret, and as the case may be for Estei Ilan or Estei Lavan. But wait, says the Gemara, how is that possible? V'kiva de Hilchata L'Nishrei Yalda. I mean, if we need Halacha L'Moshe Sinai to be matir the young sapling, Lav Mamela Zekina Asira, isn't it obvious that there is an Isser then on the Zekina? Therefore, we must say that, in fact, there are two different approaches, and that Hilchata L'Rabbi Yishmael Koroi L'Rabbi Akiva. So that when we said that it was Halacha, that's only true with the Rabbi Yishmael, that's Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, Rabbi Akiva does not have that Kabbalah, and therefore he was darshaning it from the Pesukim. Rabbi Yochanan takes a completely different approach, and he says, no, that actually there's no problem over here, even if it's a D'oraisa. Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dina Midiraita Batilahu. We don't have to look for two separate sections, one of which was available for Bittul. In fact, Rabbi Gamliel and Beit Dina actually were able to be Mevatel the D'oraisa itself. My time, huh? They based it on the drush of Gzeras Shavah. And they said, look, we find the same Lashon used by Shabbat and Shabbat Bereshit. And basically, the Pesukim seem to be confusing the two here. So that just like we know that when it comes to Shabbat Bereshit, which means what we call Shabbos, coming from the days of creation itself, so just like on Shabbat Bereshit, Hi Asura Lefaneh V'Lacharei Mutarin, both of these are called Shabbat, and yet on Shabbat Bereshit, it's only the day itself that's Asura, not before and after. So to here on Shemitah, it's only the year itself which is Asur, and not before and after. And therefore, we don't have to pay attention to the din that we just quoted about adding to Sefer Shvitz. Matkif HaRavashi, doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, whoever it was who held it at Tzahalok HaRavashi Mitzinai, what would possibly be the approach of saying that because I discovered the Gezer Shava on my own, I can now go ahead and cancel the halacha? It's ridiculous. Ati Gezer Shava, Akre Hilchata. I mean, if this were a Gezer Shava that was given over itself as one of the drushes that was Mekobel from Rav to Talmud, fine. I mean, and that would be saying somehow or other, this has changed. It's built into the halacha. It could be Okre Halacha with the Gezer Shava. And if you hold it, it's a pasuk. So man yamar kra, what would it mean for Gezer Shava to be Okre the pasuk? And what then does the pasuk mean? Elam Ravashi, I accept your approach. In the same vein, I would say that indeed they were Mevat of the Diraita, but not the way you understood it because of a drush from Gezer Shava, but rather Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino Savri like Rabbi Yishmo, Diomar Hilchata Gemirela. They do indeed hold that it's halacha. The reason that they felt that it can be Mevatel is because of the linkage that they detected in the dinim of Eser Netiot together with Nisaf HaMayim. Now, why in the world were these things linked unless they were meant to actually teach us a particular application of the halacha? So, V'chi Gemira Yochata, therefore, is Bezman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam, Tamid Nisaf HaMayim. So, therefore, what it's coming to tell us is that the only time that it's applicable, there's a din of Eser Netiot, which is the halacha of Tosefet Shemitah, is at the same time where there's a halacha of Nisaf HaMayim. Avu Bezman Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, where there is no halacha of Nisaf HaMayim, because there is no Beit HaMikdash, lo. At that point, there is in fact no problem of the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai applying, and therefore there's no halacha of Tosefet Shemitah. Continues our Mishnah. Then, for some reason, even though we are trying to save a field, we cannot use Megishamim and Mekilon. Okay, now we understand. We've already seen the original discussion in the Masechet about the problem of Tircha Yatera, which certainly would apply to Mekilon, which is water that has to be pulled up manually with a pail. So, over there, I understand that Mekilon Ika Tircha Yatera. I mean, that's a big problem. Why would a puddle, basically, I mean, which is a surface water, why would that be any different than having spring water? I mean, why can't I simply use it the way without tircha? Doesn't require gathering up from the depths. So what is exactly the issue over here about megishamim? Basically, people are unable to distinguish between those two things. Because of the fact that if we allow you to use the Megishamim, you may end up not differentiating and use something that is more problematic and start drawing places that actually do require a lot of work. So because of that, we make a Gezerah. Revashiyama, Megishamim, Gufayu, they make Yilon Hatu. Actually, it's more than that. It's that when you start drawing down the water, you're going to ultimately come to a situation where that water becomes lower and lower down in the ground, and you're now going to have to bend down and start lifting it out with a pail, and therefore we cannot use type of thing which in itself is basically similar to Mekilon. The Kamifli Gibbet Rabbi Zeira, what is this machloket based on? It's based on what Rabbi Zeira said, Yom Rabbi Zeira Amar Rabba Bar Yirmiyah Meshmul Neharot HaMoshkim Mayim Min HaAgamim Mutar Lashkot Miyam B'chol HaShomoet. If you have water that is being drawn from an agam, it's a large pond area, or still water areas, and you're allowed to use that water during Chol HaMoed, and there's no problem, because why not? It's no different than basically having it from a well, from a spring. So one man, the Omer, holds that is indeed the case, and therefore we don't make a gezerah. As long as the water that you're using is not going to end up drawing down and forcing you to drag it up is not a problem. Of saying that if we allow you to use one type, you may end up using another type. Whereas the Madiyama holds, once we have this problem in the Gezerah, of course it would apply to any type of water that is not actual spring water. There is a Rashi here that appears to be misplaced, who says, Narota Mashlim and Agamim, that the Gemara thinks now that the Agamim are not the kind of water that are permanently replenished, or constantly replenished. But that actually is a comment on the very next sugya, as you will see. Let's get into Rabbi Zer. Rabbi Zer, Amar Rabba Bar Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, Neharot, Amar Shri, Mayim, and Agamim, Mutar Lashkot, Mayim, Bechol HaShemoyin. At this point, we believed that that was talking about the type of water that was just standing, but actually was not replenished, and because of that was possibly going to disappear, forcing you to go to far distance to bring water for somewhere else. Because of that, Eitvei Rabbi Yirmi L'Rabbi Zera, because of that it appeared to contradict now the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hava lo mimei gishami velo mimei kilon, specifically for that reason. Omar Leit, which Rabbi Zera exclaimed, Yirmiya Bri, my dear son Yirmiya, that's not a problem. Hani agamim debovo kamaya velo paskidami. The type of standing wetlands that we have over here in Bovo, where the water table is so high, that type of thing is never, ever posik. And therefore, it's equivalent to the type of water that is really from the spring itself. And there's no reason to worry that this is going to turn into mekilon, which forces you to do a lot of work. Tanu Rabbanan, ha-psekot v'ha-brechot. These are basically cisterns. Psekot are not completely waterproof. Brechot have been lined and are finished products. Shenitmalu mayim me'erev yom tov. These things that have become filled with water from Erev Yom Tov, Asr Lashkot Miyam B'chol HaShemoyit. You're not allowed to use them during Chol HaMoyit. V'im Hayta Amat HaMayim Over Et B'neihem. However, if you have a water channel that actually passes between these standing containers, then there's no problem, because then you can even use, even though it's rainwater, because at that point you can always use the irrigation ditch instead, and it won't come to go far away or to be Toreach. That's what we believe it means at this point. Amr Fava, Uhu Shiruba Shalota Sade Shotam Yota Amatamayim. This is only in a situation where most of the field would be able, in the event that we've got a failure of some kind, you would be able to, at one time, take care of most of your field from the water that's coming from the spring fed Amatamayim, and therefore you're not going to end up doing something that will be a Tirchiyatera. But if not, you may get frustrated in not having sufficient water, and you'll go to Tirchiya Teira in order to be able to complete it. Rav Ashi says, why is that a concern? Why is it necessary for it to be able to have, in a single day, sufficient water to be able to take care of the entire Sada? I mean, there's no real reason to be choshish that someone is going to do all of that extra tircha yatera because he doesn't have the patience to wait for another day or two until the water finally manages to fill the entire field. And therefore, we don't have to worry as long as we have a constantly new supply of water coming to the Amat HaMayim, which is connected to a spring, then we shouldn't have to worry. Even if it takes 2 or 3 days, the person will rather sit around and let it just happen rather than doing any tircha yatera, and therefore there's no problem of its being out in the day mekilon. Tana Rabbanan, Brecha shenatefet mayim b'stei beit ha-shlachin zo, mutar lashkot mimena stei beit ha-shlachin acheret. If you have an irrigation, what we call a reservoir, a brecha, which is dripping now water, and there's water that is coming from a higher level field, which is a beit ha-shlachin, is being irrigated, and it's feeding now a reservoir that is beneath it from the water that continues to drip out of that field, you can use the water in the reservoir. You can use that water to feed another. Asks the Gemara about Avida de Pisca, but aren't these basically water? I mean, it's just going to finish dripping and then it's going to be over. And then we're going to be left with the same problem that we're afraid we're going to go to Tircha Yatera and to a long distance in order to be able to get this to continue to water. What we're talking about is where the water continues to drip from the upper field into the middle tank the reservoir. Well, whatever we can assume, and since it's still dripping from the upper tank, it's still filled, the upper tank is still dripping from the field above it, that there's no problem if it's going to be posting. Amar Abaye, Abaye says that's not sufficient. It's talking about that the upper spring that feeds the field that's on top, the Bidash Lachim that's on top, is not something that ever loses its water, and therefore there's really not much of a problem. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, Meshteh Lugotzu Lamalu Mizu, Lo Yedaleh Min HaTachtona V'Yashket Al Yonan. If you have two, but a Bidash Lachim, and one above the other on an incline, and you have even two, we've been talking about until now, here he's talking about, I guess we have even just two rows of a field. And within the same field, there also, the field itself is on an incline, so one row of plants is higher than the other. You cannot take from the lower, you cannot take water that's on the level of the lower row and use it to water the upper row. So, lo yedaleh min hatachtona v'yashket ha'ayona. Even more than that, says Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, even if it's a single row, which is on an incline, the lower half of which is lower than the upper half, so you can't take the water even from the same row because of its relationship to Tircha Yeterah. He says you are allowed, but it seems to be, the word medalim seems to come from the word li, which means to be dole, which means to basically lift something up and to bring water to another place. So to withdraw it from one location and bring it to another location. Here it says that you can do that, and if you're going to be eating it, but if it's only to make them nicer, meaning for afterwards, then you're not allowed to. Ravina Varabatosva. And indeed, Ravina Rabba Tosfot were walking along the road. They see a guy who is taking water and watering his field in Kolomoid. Omle Rabba Tosfot, Ravina Rabba Tosfot said to Ravina, why don't you put him at the Cherem? Omle, what do you mean? He's not doing anything wrong. It says that you're allowed to water vegetables if your plan is to eat them during Chol HaMoed. So why should we assume this guy's doing anything wrong? He probably just wants to have his Yerakot during Chol HaMoed being fresh and full of water. Omar Lay, to which now Rabbi Tosfot replied, Misavet Maim Medalim Medalim Maya, is that why you understood the Braita, that when it says Medalim is from the Lashon of Dali, to be taking water from place to place, what it's referring to? My medalim, when it's talking to about the word medalim over here, it means medalim means shlufei. It means from the lashon of dal, from making it poorer. In other words, from pulling out the additional vegetation in between. So if you want to pull it out and eat it during Kolomoid, that's fine. But if pulling it out in order to allow the other things to grow better, then it's not fine. Therefore, it has nothing to do with the issue of watering during Kolomoid. You know, there's two basic approaches really to this sugya we just had. One is that we're talking about over here even estei bet habal, and that if you want to make it be nicer for eating during Chol HaMoed, it should be more juicy, that's okay. I mean, that seems to be the mashmos of Rashi. If, however, what you're trying to do is to have it better for after Yantav, then it's usher. Now, the problem is that would assume that what we're talking about over here is that we're not doing Tircha Yisera. But the problem is that the word medalim seems to be related to a dli, which is taking it out with a bucket. And if that's the case, then we would be talking about Tircha Yisera. So what it must be saying, therefore, is that the Mishnah is saying that even a stay beta shlachim can't be used if what you're doing is going to go to Tircha Yetzirah, comes along the Braisa to say that not even Tircha Yetzirah would be mutter if you're going to be using it directly for eating during the Mayid. So then, according to that, the word liyafotan doesn't really mean liyafotan, because this would be even true if it's there to avoid a hefset, correct? Because we said even a hefset, that was the first sugya in the Gemara, that even a hefset is usher to do Tircha Yetzirah. What it's saying that liyafotan means not for the current time. In other words, it's for its ultimate improvement or for its ultimate saving. little bit of a push, but that would be the alternative. Continues the Gemara. Where do we see the lashon of medalin meaning shlufe? Kiditznan hamedal begifanim. Somebody who now pulls out certain vines and leaves others because they've been bunched up too much. Kishem shu medal b'shelo kachu medal b'shelaniim. Dev Rabbi Yehuda said the same way that he pulls out vines from his own, he's also allowed to take the area that was peya or area or vines that are oilolai sakerim, which is a certain type of growth which is given to the aniim, which is not a full scale cluster, it's improperly formed clusters. And he's allowed to do that too for the aniim, because the only time that they, says Tosfos, that the Torah asks for taking the oilolais is only at the time of the actual harvesting. But while you're working on it, you don't have to worry about what you're doing for the aniim's thing. Rabbi Meir Omer, b'shelo reshai, v'eino reshai b'shel aniim. You're allowed to do it only in your own. You can't affect the produce that belongs to aniim. Omer le'vatanya. Medalin mayim liyirakot kedei lachla. He said to him, this is all very nice that we can use the word medalin to mean to thin, but it does say beferish in the brisa that we can actually medalin water for vegetation and not medalin the vines, medalin the gefunden themselves. So why are you telling me that this guy should be put into chayrim and that it was usher? Omalei, tanya, okay, and I give up if that's what it says. There's no choice but to indeed accept it and learn it that way. What exactly does ugiot mean? I'm reviewing that banki. It means basically ditches at the base of the vine. Tanya mihachi eluhin ugiot bedidin shabikre zeitim v'shabikre gifanim. It means basically the round ditches that are placed at the roots of the olives and at the roots of the vines. Any varav Yehuda shor lebnei barzita lemevet banki lekarmehon. Why does it say eno sin? Didn't Rav Yehuda give a heter to the people in Bar Tzitai to dig out these ditches around the vines in their vineyards? And says the Gemara, lo kasha b'chadti ha-be'atiki. It depends whether you're talking about new digging, which is very difficult, or to clear out the ditches that were there before. These are basically around the roots. And that's easy. They just dig it out so that the water can then sit there and be absorbed slowly into the ground. This, of course, was what Rashi was referring to earlier when he said we're going to be mechalek, and he wanted to apply the same chiluk to hoeing. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer ain't osin et ha'amah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says we cannot dig now a new irrigation ditch during Chol HaMoed or during Shemitah. So Bishlam HaMoed, we pointed out that obviously during Chol HaMoed the problem of the years Bishum deKatorach is because of the Tircha Yetera. It's very difficult to dig a ditch. El HaShviyit, my time. There's no Isser of Tircha during Shviyit. What would be the svar of saying that it would be prohibited if you're not actually working on anything that has to do with immediate agriculture? Pligibar Rabbi Zer, Rabbi Rabbi Mamal. We have here a Machlokas. We don't know exactly who said what, but we do know that Chanamar, Bibnei Shanir Eka Oder, one says the problem over here is that it looks like you are hoeing and doing agricultural work, and therefore they rabban and asked it because it appears that you're working. The other learned that it looks as if you're actually plowing, because what you're doing is by when you take the dirt out of the ditch, you pile it on the side of the ditch, and you're left basically with furrows of enriched dirt that are roi for zriya. There's two perushim. This Tosfos' first approach is that it looks like actual Harisha, so it's more than just hoeing. And another pshat says, look, it could be also that it really is basically hoeing, even though he's not thinking of this, but it is a malacha. Even though Rabbi Shimon holds a davar shein miskaven is usually mutter, but where there's no way of avoiding the fact that what I'm doing is resulting in land that is now suitable to be used for agriculture, then there's no avoiding the iser of working on a land during Shemitah, because it's a psik resha. What would be the difference between these two approaches of whether it looks like he's hoeing or whether it looks like, or he actually is performing a harisha by piling on the ground on the sides? The difference would be if water fills the ditch behind him as he digs. If the issue over here is that you're preparing the dirt on the edges for planting, which is like actual plowing the field, so then you still have that. But Mandi Ramesh, your echo there, he certainly does not look like he's hoeing. because it's clear what he's doing. The water's right behind him. He's obviously digging a ditch for irrigation. Certainly, these are not exclusive to Amim. So if the problem is Nirek Oder, why are we not also worried about preparing the edges for Zriya and doing the Malach of Harisha or looking like Harisha? So how would this be a difference between them? He's certainly not saying, I don't believe that that's a problem. The difference would be, if you take the shovel, throw it in the ground, and then you throw the dirt far away, and then you're not piling up the dirt on the edges, and therefore there's no problem of Harisha. On the other hand, if it's because you look like you're hoeing, you're still hoeing. But wait, I mean, it's certainly, again, as I pointed out, it's not mutually exclusive. Still, why doesn't it look as if you're hoeing? Why aren't we chayish for that? Because Oder Nami Kika Sharkel Beduchta Manachle. Truth is that if you were hoeing, you would. Now, a Mamar Masila B'Mishn Yerikaiter, a Mamar actually had it in the Mishnah itself, saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that it's Osir because he's Yerikaiter. In which case, he had a problem of a steer in Rabbi Elazar. Kasha, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Umiyam Rabbi ben Azariah, Kosh and Yerikaiter, so is it true that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say that if it looks like you're, when you dig, it looks like you're hoeing? V'ramini Yosea Damet Zivlo Otsar. It says over here that you're allowed to pile up dung in order to use it for fertilizer, to have it available during Shemitah, as long as you're not actually putting out to do the Shemitah, and we're not to do it during Shemitah, we're not saying that it looks as if he's being actually mezavel. And Rabbi Meir Oser, Rabbi Meir says, no, it's Oser Achiyad Mikshloisha Tvachim. He has to now actually dig 3 Tvachim into the ground so that it's clear that it's a hole and that he's not doing a zibul of a sado, or he raises the area so that it's clear that this is a pile and that he's not actually doing the fertilizing during the Shemitah year. Now, Hayalo Davar Muad, if, however, he already had a small pile there before, so then Masif Alavoilich is allowed to continue during Shemitah without worrying about it because it's already clear that it's not zibul. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Oser Achi Yamik Shlosha Achi Yagbir Shlosha or Achi Yiken Al Hasela. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds you can't rely on the fact that it was there from before. You have to either dig down or raise it up on dirt, or you could put it on top of rock where it's clear that you're certainly not fertilizing rock. The problem is, how is it possible, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to say that you should dig during Shemitah if he holds that digging, or digging a ditch even, is near a Geoder? So exactly the same thing would be true over here. So it would be Nira Kaida. Rabbi Zera, Rabba Barmano. So here, there's two possibilities also involving Rabbi Zera here. So Rabbi Zera, Rabba Barmano, Chadamar Kagon Shemik. Once it's talking about where he already before Shemitah, he had dug down. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah doesn't say he should do it. You think if he had done it, then he is able to continue to put it there. The other one says that it's clear that in a case where he's basically bringing immediately the zevel, how can anybody think that he's hoeing? That his hoeing is digging is for hoeing if it's clear that he's actually depositing the the dung there. Continues the Mishnah. Taknim is a mekukelet b'moed. You're allowed to fix a ditch that has become now silted up during Chol HaMoed. My Mekukelet, what does that mean? What is considered to be how damaged is damaged? If instead of its normal 6 tefachim, it's become now silted up and it's only 1 tefach, you can now dig down another 5 tefachim so that you have a normal amas hamayim. Now the question is, pshita, in a case it's clear where originally it was chatzi tefach and you want to now put it back the way it was. It was 3 tefachim. I mean, it got silted up to chatzi tefach. You want to put it back to the way that it was. Sekimah de lo avamaya lav klomo. Since at this point, when it's a chatzi tefach, it's basically useless. There's not enough water goes over to be of any use. Then it's like basically digging it out now, and you can't do it. Or, the way Rashi learns here, it means that since even when it's 3, it's not really going to be a usable irrigation ditch. There's not enough water gets through. So therefore, you certainly can't do it. But the question, furthermore, I mean, it's also pshita that tefachayim al shneimasar. If you want to take the 2 tefachim that you currently have and restore it to 12 tvachim, which is what it was before, so in other words, basically, you're digging down six times what it is now, which is basically what you would have done to restore it to six if it was one, that's also ridiculous. I mean, why should it be related to six to one? And the bottom line is, he's obviously, Katarach Tircha Yaseir is going to a heck of a lot of additional Tircha digging something that deep. The question is, if it was originally seven, and you want to take the two tvachim that currently exist and just add the five, which we said before was mutter, if it was one, I mean, is there really a big difference between six and seven, since the bottom line is ha'cha chamisha kamamik va'cha chamisha kamamik? So do we say, look, I mean, you're really only digging five, so that's mutter. Or do we say that since over here you're going to have to bend down to seven tvachim instead of six, so that's already considered to be tircha yisera? Take them. That is a question. Another case, where you have Abaye Shari Livnei Bar Hamdach L'Shechufi Nahara. So Abaye allowed the people in the Bar Hamdach to clear a river from silt or some learned from growth that was into it, as Rashi here says. The Rashi, that's called the Rashi Amiti, says it silted. Rabbi Yirmiyah Shari Livnei Sachvita L'Michra Nahara T'mima. And Rabbi Yirmiyah even allowed the people of Sachvita to get to the source of a river that had gotten now all silted up at its source, and he allowed that to be dug away too. Ravashi Sharlovne Mata Machasa Lagduke in Araburnit. Ravashi allowed the people of Masa Machasya to drill through the opening for Nahar Burnit, where it was drawing water from, in order to allow more water to be able to fill the river. This is how the Rashi Amiti has it. We could call it Rashi Miksav Yad, and why do I have to play into the Machabra, huh? Since people drink from it, it's a public water source, so then even though it's only for drinking water, it becomes like the Tzorchei Rabim, and it says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to do all of the Tzorchei Rabim during the Mayid.